Bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come together in spirit and truth, and believing, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. We trust, Father, that your word is the same as it was then, and that it does the same things, Lord, as it did then. And the life, Lord, that you performed while living in your Son, Jesus, we saw the same life in Paul. We see it in William Branham. We see it in the early church. We see it in the church today. And so, Father, we just thankful and we ask you to help us get ready for the going home, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this evening, we're going to examine paragraph 125 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Rising of the Sun. And this will be number 61 in our series. And as we read this paragraph, I want you to notice several things that he says that we could take a sermon on almost any one of them. But tonight, I would like to focus on one thought in particular, and that is something that you most likely have never heard any minister say. And we're going to point that out in just a moment as we begin our reading. So from paragraph 125, Brother Branham says, "Now may it then, Father, may if they're sick, may they walk out well. May if they are crippled, may they walk out under the power of the Holy Spirit. If they've been sinners, may they walk out washed and clean. The mechanics by going in, the dynamics come from above. The Holy Spirit and cast them away, Lord. Quicken their mortal body. Then we shall hear genuine new tongues, powers of God, love untold." And this is what I want to focus on: dying grace and living grace. And a resurrected Christ, a body, a bride representing him on earth. Father, they are yours. They raise their hands. I have preached the word. Now, Father, receive them, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Therefore, this evening that we see this scene, that this is a communion service, I would like to take our thoughts on the statement, dying grace and living grace. Because this grace Brother Branham is speaking of here is both a grace to handle for the dying, and at the same time, it is a grace to handle our living as well. In other words, it gives us grace to live that life. It gives us grace to die to self, and gives us grace while we're dying in this flesh, and it gives us grace to live. Now, we all know the word grace means unmerited favor, but here we see the word grace used in a way that shows that it is for those who are dying and for those who become alive due to this grace. There isn't a lot to go by when we examine these words alone, because God's prophet only used the words dying grace one time, and that's in the paragraph we read tonight. And he only used the words living grace one time as well. And that one time is what we just read in paragraph 125. And so, of course, he only used the two together one time. So you've got it all from the prophet. So what we want to do is take it back to Scripture to get a better understanding of what he's saying. So let's begin tonight by looking at this thought concerning grace by going to the Scripture to see what we can glean from the Scripture concerning grace for dying and grace for living. From his sermon, The Invisible Union of the Bride, Brother Branham speaks of grace when he quotes Dwight Moody, and he says, "One of the books that I read on Dwight Moody in Chicago, now we have a great listening church in Chicago also tonight, that Mr. Moody, after reading Romans 7, he ran into the street, and the first man that he met, he said to him, 'Do you know grace?' And the man replied, 'Grace who?' And Mr. Moody said, 'The grace of God.' So it so thrilled him that when he seen that how grace had separated us from the law, and what part grace played, and anything that I want to do is when I always told the people, when I cross the line on the other side, I'd like to stand up and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace, because grace, more of grace to know, for it is by grace that we're saved, not by what we can do or what we can. Whatever we do is not counted to us. Grace is what saves us. By grace are you saved through faith." And so we see here Brother Branham is actually quoting the Apostle Paul when he says, "By grace are you saved through faith." In fact, we find the Apostle Paul saying this in a couple places in the book of Ephesians. In the first time he uses the word "saved by grace," he speaks of our having been dead in our sins and trespasses. So this first time that we're looking at the thought of grace for dying, which is the same as the statement that Brother Branham himself made. We see in Ephesians 2 and 5, he says, "Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Notice here that we see the Apostle Paul speaking concerning our being dead in our sins and then being quickened or made alive together with Christ, which is an enjoined life with Christ. And then he says, by grace are you saved. And now notice the words together with Christ. Notice that word together. It was translated from the Greek word sousopoi, and it means to reanimate conjointly with, figuratively, to quicken together with. I like that word conjointly. If you look that up, it's a very interesting word. Therefore, we're not looking at a quickening that is in any part, any way apart from or separate from the quickening of Christ himself, as though that you are separately quickened or made alive, but rather this quickening is conjointly with his quickening. Conjointly with his quickening. In other words, the same Spirit that quickened him quickens you, and it is not a separate quickening from his quickening, but it is a conjoint quickening. In other words, you were in him when he was quickened. When he died, you were in him, and when he was quickened, you were in him. All right? Now, to make things easier to understand, the word conjoint, it means, as an adjective, it means joined together, united, combined or associated, pertaining to or formed by two or more in combination. In other words, joint. Now, I don't have an arm if I don't have joints. I may be one stiff, unfunctionable member, but I have joints. The joints connect two. So a conjoint is actually a connection of two, but it's the same thing. It's one arm. We don't call that the upper arm, lower arm. You know, he swung his upper arm and held a bat with his lower arm, and you know, he just swung with his arms. Okay. And as a noun, conjoint, it means conjoint, or marriage partners. I think it's very interesting, marriage partners, especially as joint owners of property. So you cannot be conjoined together unless both parties are simultaneously joined together. You can't join yourself to the wife if she's not around to be conjoined to. All right? In other words, you can't join yourself to a woman and say she's my wife if she doesn't agree to that situation herself. Now, let's look further into this quickening as we turn in our Bible to Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, that's in self, fulfilling the desires of self and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now notice in all of these verses of Scripture, they speak not just of our being quickened or made alive, but it says we are quickened together with him. In other words, without him it's impossible to be quickened. All right. Now, how are we quickened together? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. When you are quickened and made alive by his word, you are now a dual being in the same manner that Jesus was a dual being. Because you are now a temple of the Holy Spirit, you are now the house in which God's Spirit has chosen to dwell in, and it is by his Spirit living in us that we are awakened from our sleep, and we have become joint heirs with Christ, bound together by the same life that dwelled in him, now dwelling in you. Now this word quicken was translated from the Greek word sousopoi, as we mentioned earlier, and it means quicken together with or quicken together to make one alive together with Christ. Then what we see here is that one cannot be alive without the other, because the one Christ makes the other live. It is by his Spirit that we live and move and have our being. That makes us children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Notice again, joint heirs with Christ. He wouldn't be heir without you. You wouldn't be heir without him. All right? If you're joint heirs. Now we read in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. As certain as also of your prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Notice, for in him we live. So you are not alive outside of him. Outside of him you are dead while you live. Now, don't just read this and pass by without dwelling on what he's saying here. For in him we live. There's a joint, a conjoining. And not only are we alive in Him, but He also said, for in Him we move. So you're not moving without Him. So our actions are also dependent upon our being in Him. And then He says, not only are our being alive dependent, is being dependent upon being in Christ, and not only are our actions dependent upon being in Christ, but then He adds, for in Him we have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. In other words, if it wasn't for the life of your Father, you wouldn't be living at all. For in Him we have our being. That outside of Him we do not have our being. Outside of Him we are not what we ought to be. In fact, that is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3 and 3. He says, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Co-jointly with Christ in God. And then he tells us, when our life will become manifested, as he says in the next verse, when Christ, who is our life, you can't be alive without Him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. One glory, not two. One life, not two. One personality, not two. Notice, then it is the same doxa, the same opinions and values and judgments that we appear or manifest in our true character, as He also manifests in His same doxa, same opinion, same values, same judgments. And notice, we do this together because it is the same word, the same doxa, the same opinions, the same values, the same judgments that we are doing this together in. That is why the Apostle Paul could say in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Now notice, I'm not crucified along with Christ as though I'm one of the thieves that was on the cross at the same time He was on the cross. That's not conjointly. Alright? He said, I am crucified with Christ. I'm conjointly crucified with Christ. But rather, you and Christ are one personality and one spirit living in the two of you, making one body, and that one body is crucified together. In other words, not one like your finger is one, although your finger does have several joints. But there's of twain made He one body. Alright? And that one body is crucified together. When the hands were nailed, your hands were nailed. When His feet were nailed, your feet were nailed. Together, not separately, going through the same thing. Together, because it is the same Spirit alive in His vessel that is alive in yours. When Christ was raised, you were raised. Because the same Spirit that was raised in Him is the one that's the same Spirit that's in you. Alright, now Paul continues, nevertheless I live, yet not I. In other words, hey, I'm alive, but it's not Paul. It's Christ. You should be able to say the same thing. Look, I live today. I'm a different man than I was before. But Christ liveth in me, he says. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, Paul tells us the same thing in Ephesians 2 and 5. He says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. And the word quickened here is made up of two words, zoon and zopoi. Alright? The word zoon means with, beside, or to accompany. In other words, the egg can never be made alive without the sperm. The life germ in the sperm, and yet the egg is a seed. And so you were in the mind of God as an egg germ seed, so to speak, but it takes the quickening spirit of Christ, the Word, the life, to enter into you for you to come alive. The mechanics in your body must have the dynamics to make you come alive and become manifested. All right, we're talking about manifesting or manifested sons of God. From Zupoi, he says, quicken. The word means quicken. Means to give life to make alive, to produce alive, to beget or bear living young, to cause to live, to make alive, to give life by spiritual power, to arouse and invigorate, to restore to life, to give increase of life, thus a physical life of the spirit, quickening as respects the spirit, endued with new and greater powers of life, metaphorically or of seeds quickened into life, i.e. germinating, springing up, growing up. In other words, the spirit of adoption. There you go. Alright. In Ephesians 2 and 5, again, the Apostle Paul tells us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Him. Even when you were dead in sins, yet somehow He quickened us together with Him. So that seed then, which was you that was dead in sin, had to rot to itself. Had to die to itself. So that the very life that was predestined in you before the foundations of the world to be adopted sons, Ephesians 1, 3 to 4, in Revelations chapter 13 and 8, when Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world, you see how it's all working together. When that life was released on the day of Pentecost, it came back upon that soil. Okay, now, which is us. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Him, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice, this is already past tense. We are already sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's why I mentioned last week, I said, how do you know that you're going to be rapture ready? The only way that you know is that you are aware that God is working in you both to will and to do. And He which began the good work in you shall perform it. It's strictly up to Him, and all you've got to do is just keep dying to yourself. Now, again we see in Colossians 2 and 9, the Apostle Paul is telling us, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. You wouldn't be complete without Him. So, conjointly together, you're complete, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised you from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Notice in Colossians chapter 2, we see all of these scriptures dealing with him. There's not one time did they say you alone or Him alone. It's a conjoint. Notice, all these scriptures read the same thing concerning our being quickened or made alive, and they do not deal with us as a lone individual, but notice they all say that you are quickened together with Him. You are buried with Him. You are risen with Him. You are made alive with Him. You are joint heirs with Him. You are quickened together with Him. You sit with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. You're not alone, brother, sister. If you got the Holy Ghost, greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Now, Ephesians 2 and 5, again, Paul tells us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So, you say, well, were my sins forgiven when I got to the altar? No, they were forgiven on Calvary. It was all done. It's all a done deal. It's a conjoint deal. Jesus Christ could not be joint heir. You could not be joint heirs with Christ if Jesus hadn't done what He did at the cross. You understand? What we're looking at here is an interdependence between... Look, I love this. Tomorrow we're going to get into a little bit of Alpha and Omega. I'm going to show you what Solomon said. That which has been is already... Or that which is to be has already been done. We are just living out what God foreshadowed and foretold before the foundations of the world that we would. What we're looking at here is an interdependence between God and His sons. Jesus was dependent upon God to show Him what to do, and God was dependent upon Jesus to do. Brother Brandt told us in his sermon, New Ministry, that he was in California holding meetings, and he got a call to come to the hospital to pray for a baby that was dying. The child was born and had cancer in such a bad condition that his tongue was dried and shriveled, and the child couldn't swallow anything. He saw that the child was about the same age as one of his little ones and became desperate before God. He waited and waited for a vision, and when nothing came, No visions, like you and I. No vision. Okay. When nothing came, he asked God, what would you have your servant to do? Now, when you are sitting before a situation and you don't have a vision for that situation, but you have a Bible that shows plenty of times that that situation took place, what are you to do? You're to do what he did. Father, what would you have your servant to do? Now listen to what happened. He said, I was so dependent upon the vision that I was waiting for God to show me what to do. So when I asked God, what would you have your servant to do? He said, Father, I'm waiting for you to show me what to do. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm waiting on you to show me what you're going to do. Either you are engrafted to this word, or you're not. If you are engrafted by this word, to this word, for this word, then this word is who you are. Then it doesn't matter if you're Moses, if you're Elijah, if you're Elisha. When you come to that water, you do the same thing. Moses took the staff, he hit the water, he walked in the water parted. Elijah didn't have a staff, so he did the best thing. He took his mantle off, he rolled it up tight like a stick, hit the water. Did what Moses did. He improvised. And got the same result. When Elisha was standing there and that mantle was tossed down from the chariot, he went back to the water. He said, I have no way to get across. He could wait for the ferry. He could rent a boat. He could do anything. But you know what? He was engrafted to that word. He said, Moses did it. Elijah did it. He took that same mantle, formed a staff, hit the water, and said, where is the God of Elijah? And you know what? The God of Elijah was there. The same yesterday, today, and forever. When Elijah was called because the child was dying, he put his mouth on the child. He got everybody in the room. Didn't want any unbelief in the room. Anybody questioning his motives, why he's putting his mouth in that boy's mouth. He put his mouth in his mouth, his hands in his hands. He breathed into that boy. Where did he get the idea from? When God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Hallelujah. Then Elisha come along. Next generation. He has the same situation. He does the same thing that Elijah did. Another generation, another church age come along. We find Martin Luther did the same thing. Got everybody out of the room. He went in there. He laid his on the man. He put his mouth in his mouth. He breathed, and that man came back to life. We see Columba, the very next church age, did it. The very same thing. Why? Because there's a pattern. A pattern. It's right here. We are the engrafted Word of God. Hold that close to your heart. That's who you are. It's not who was over there. It's who you are. You are that Word. And the very life of that word is living in you. The Holy Spirit said, Brother Brown, Lord, show me a vision. I'm waiting. I don't know what to do. He said, I'm waiting on you to show me what you're going to do. There you are. Like Christ, speak, move, and go forward. Moses had to put his staff into the water and walk into the water for it to part. Elijah, like I mentioned, the mantle. Elisha, the same thing. Like Christ, speak. Why cry? You've got this. You've got the shout. You've got the voice. It's all right here in these pages. You have to just let the light shine upon it and then step into it and watch that become manifested word. When you have been made alive by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and you are now quickened together with Christ. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I, Paul, that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation, the same revelation the Son of God had, the same revelation Elijah had, the same revelation Elisha had, the same revelation Moses had. Now, there's got to come a time when the bride of Christ will realize that she is no longer herself. You are no longer Don Shearer. You're Mrs. Jesus. You're no longer Nathan Shearer. You're Mrs. Jesus. She has to become him. She will realize at that point she is a dual being. Just as there was a dual being in Christ, for God united with His Son, and now Christ in us has become our hope of glory. our hope of attaining His glory, His doxa, His opinions, His values, His judgments. As the bride receives the very same Spirit that lived in Jesus Christ and raised Him from the grave, she becomes joined or co-joined, conjoined to the head, which is Christ Himself, and we become a dual being just as Christ was a dual being. And even in the first book of Peter, we read 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now, from the rising of the sun, Brother Branham said, He was not only the mechanics, God's Word, but He was the dynamics to prove it. And if He being the groom, and the bride has to come forth because it's a part of Him, and it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelation and the others that spoke of the bride, and it can only manifest, and if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. What did he just say there? If it does, if she does anything different from the groom, she is not the bride. So if John 14:12 says that you will do exactly what I do, then you're going to do exactly what he did. It shows that you're bride. It shows that you are co-joined, conjoined to this, to the Word of God. Listen. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, and power of his power. How can you say you got the Holy Ghost if the same life that was lived by others that had the Holy Ghost is not being lived by you? How can you say you got the Holy Ghost if the works that Jesus did are not being done by you? If the life that Jesus lived is not being done by you. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got His nature. Now, notice, how can you say John 14:12 was only for one person when the prophet of God said, if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. You would have to say then that William Branham alone is the bride, for he alone did the same things as the groom. And now you're going to say, well, the hand did it, so all the body's doing it. Now let me just tell you something. You've got to be very careful with that phraseology. Brother Vail used it a few times, but you have to understand what he's talking about. He's talking about a prophet. Paul the Apostle said, the body cannot say, the foot cannot say to the hand, because you're not a foot, I have no need of you. Or the hand cannot say to the ear, because you're not the hand, I have no need of you. Or to the eye, if you're not the eye, I have no need of you. The hand has a specific purpose. A prophet has a specific purpose. But an apostle, a teacher, an evangelist, and pastor have different, they have a different operation, but it's the same gift. It's the same Holy Ghost. They are not the hand. But let me tell you something. The hand does certain things. The foot does certain things. The eye does certain things. The ear does certain things, the nose does certain things. And the body needs them all. For people to say, well, Brother Branham did it, so therefore I'm counting on that, and I'm resting on that, and so I don't need to do anything, then, you know what? You're not part of the body. And we can say as much as Brother Branham said, if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Well, Jesus said, the things that I do, you're going to do. And you say, no, that's not right. Jesus, you're wrong. You're not flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Word of his word. Power of his power. Life of his life. These are serious things that we're dealing with here. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, when he was here on earth, he was Emmanuel, God with us. But at Calvary, God tore him apart. He tore him apart and he raised up the body and set it on his own right hand and sent the spirit that was in that body back down upon the church to continue the works that it did there. There's a covenant confirmed. So the church that goes to be the bride of Jesus Christ will be baptized into the same spirit with the same signs and same wonders. Same Holy Ghost was upon him will be in the church. It's got to be exactly the same. So when that Spirit come down on Pentecost, on 120 believers, and it baptized them into the body of Christ, and the same Holy Spirit was upon Christ, was upon the church. It continued on. Same Spirit that was in Jesus on the church. Now listen, Jesus never did one miracle, but God did. But He was the hand that God used to touch. It was God used His hem of His garment to raise people up. God used the shadow of Peter and John to heal people. You see, it's all God.
All right.
From Mary's belief, He said, so then if it don't do the same works, then it isn't the same Holy Ghost. So you can throw John 14:12 out, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't got the Holy Ghost when you do that. And that's a strong statement, but that's what He's saying right there. If it don't do the same works, then it isn't the same Holy Ghost. Now, God put that promise in here. You show me where God took it out of here. You show me where a vindicated prophet took it out of there. You show me where a vindicated prophet said, that's only for me. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. Say what's on the tape. Say only what's on the tapes. Say what's in this word. Only what's in this word. If it don't do the same works, then it isn't the same Holy Ghost. But if it does the same work, then it is the Holy Ghost, the same one. Amen. Do you believe that? In John 14:12, Jesus said, He promised that the believer that believed in Him would do the works, would do the same works. Is that right? God who makes a law or promise must keep that promise to be God. Now, we have a promise. We have a God who keeps His promise. We believe God will keep His promise. I can't explain how that John 14:12 is going to be in your life, in your life, in your life, in your life. That's between you and God. But I can say one thing. He promised it. All right? The thing that He did to His people to follow through the age until He returned again. Let's just read that again. To think that God, why, it's a paradox itself for God who makes a promise and cannot break that promise, to give that promise of the things that He did to His people to follow throughout the age until He returned again. Going into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, all the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He's got to keep that word. And because He said it went forth from His mouth, it's got to be fulfilled. All Scripture's got to be fulfilled. So it's a paradox alone to hear Jesus, the Son of God, make such a statement as that, the things that I do, you will do also. Now the Bible said in Hebrews 13:8 that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a paradox because it has to be done. Heavens and earth will pass away, but not one word that I've ever said will ever fail. He said it. It has to be done. I rest my case. It's not for Brian Kosorek to make these things happen. It's for God. It's for you to get out of the way so that He can. I mean, I love the way he's preaching here. It's tremendous. It's God, 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 God. Like Brother Bello said, get your eyes off the vessel. That's the people's problem. They focus on a vessel and they fall away. They fall away. Because they don't see it's God. It's all about Him. It's being conjoined. Conjoined. Your body, His Spirit. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ is dwelling in you right now, Peter. The same exact Spirit, the same life. What are you going to do about it? Well, I know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to die to Brian. Let him have the body. Use it for whatever he wants to use it for. And from the world is falling apart, 1 Timothy, Brother Brown said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke Mars and Jupiter and Venus and all these, put them into a pattern, set the sea by the moon, that great God, His life is in you. Brother Brown said, when you got the Holy Ghost, you received the Holy Ghost, said you got enough power in you to create worlds and go live on them. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. Seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That should all be in red. See, now that was God with us, God over us, God with us. Now is God in us. All that God was, He poured into Christ. All that Christ was, He poured into the church. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, you in me. And I ask you this. He said, at that day, you'll know. Do you know? Do you know? Or are you just a church person? Or do you really know? Do you really believe with all your heart? God is living in me. His same life that was in His Son is in me. Same life that was in Paul. Same life that expressed itself in William Brown is the same life that's living in you. And that day you'll know that I'm in the Father me, I'm you, you and me. So it's been God all along. You see, His same works, the church is ordained to carry on His works with the same Spirit. You couldn't carry on the same works without the same Spirit. That's right. The same Spirit carries on the works. So it's not you. It's not the vessel carrying on the works. It's the same Spirit living in you that was living in Paul, that was living in William Brown, that was living in Moses, that was living in Elijah, that was living in Elisha, that was living in Martin and Columba. It's the same Spirit. So do we limit the Spirit by the vessel? Is that what the vessel is greater than He? Look, He says, greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Greater is the one living in you than the vessel He's living in. Hallelujah. So when you think that you're having trouble and you think you're having a hard time, you think you just can't overcome, you can't. Listen, just greater is He, greater is He, greater is He, greater is He, greater is He that's in me. I remember a few weeks ago we shared with you what Brother Brown said in the second seal. He said in the second seal, when Jesus incarnates Himself in His people, notice the word incarnates. What did God do when He entered Jesus on the River Jordan? He incarnated Him. Well, that same God incarnates us by the same life. When Jesus incarnates Himself in His people, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. What would it do if you took the life out of a grapevine and put it into a pumpkin vine? It wouldn't bear pumpkins no more. It'd bear grapes. See? What if you took the life out of a peach tree and put it into a pear tree? See? What if you took the life of this and put it into this vessel? What if you took the life of this and put it into this vessel? See what it's saying? It's saying that the vessel then would have the nature of the life that was put into Him. What if you took the life out of a peach tree and put it into a pear tree? Would it bear pumpkins? Would it bear pears? No, bear peaches. The life tells what it is. See, when you hear people say that they got the Holy Ghost and then deny this word, there's something wrong. The Holy Ghost that wrote the word, and Jesus said, if a man has my Spirit in him, he will do my works. Can I read that again? If a man has my Spirit in him, he will do my works. You want to read that? If you want to put it down, it's St. John 14:12. So how is Brother Brown telling us, or what is Brother Brown defining John 14:12 in? He's saying if you got the same Spirit, you're going to do the same things. It has nothing to do with the vessel, it has to do with the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we limit God. Why can we have a 3-year-old child pray for a 4-year-old child, or a 4-year-old child pray for a 3-year-old child, and God honors that, and God heals or does whatever that prayer was? Because the child wasn't thinking about the vessel. They weren't thinking about themselves. They weren't thinking about, if I lay hands on my sister, I've got such great power in me, it's going to make her. No, it doesn't do that. They just said, I said, why do you know that she's healed? Because I prayed. Bible says lay hands on the sick. That's what I did. They brought the dead child of the pastor there over in Africa. And the pastor, the baby, dead babies. He thought, Lord, I don't know what to do. But I know you do. So I'm just going to lay hands on the sick. The child's dead. I'm going to lay hands on the child. I'm expecting, Father, for you to answer your word. God did. Raise the child up. I know of three times in the last 2 years, maybe four, if the one in Jacksonville was a full death. They don't know that for certain. But so we'll say four times. But I know of three times that pastors have been presented with children, and the children were dead, and God raised those children back to life again. Now that's in the children of God. That power is there if you're born again. Because it's not your power, it's Him, the Spirit of God in you. All right. When Jesus incarnates Himself in His people, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. He said, the light tells what it is. Then he says, if a man has my spirit in him, he will do my works. You want to read that. If you want to put it down, it's St. John 14, 12. Yeah, all right. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, then he sanctifies and cleanses him so that he can stand before God. Now notice how Brother Brown literally identified John 14, 12 with having the same life that was in Christ. If a man hath my spirit in him, he will do my works. You want to read that? If you do, okay. And then he says John 14, 12. Then when Brother Brown says, if Satan incarnates his people, they're going to do the same works that Satan did. Because it's all about the life. Genesis 1:11, every seed after its own kind. Now watch, Satan, when he incarnates himself in his subjects, they do the works that he did. Don't you see what he did do? Come right to that innocent woman to deceive her. Alright? So it depends on the works. He said the works depends on the life, the nature. Now, from the second seal, he said, and when a man turns down the gospel truth, Satan marks him. Where? His ear, at his ear. He deafens him so he can't hear the truth no more. Ichabod. And he's finished. Not. He stays with the group that he's with if he won't hear the truth. No, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth makes free. God marks his when they come. God marks his by vindicating his promised word through just one man. Is that what it says? What does it say? Them. That's exactly St. John 14, 12. And another thing, if you want to put it down, Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, let's just take that for just a moment. Was he joking? Congregation replies, no. Did he just mean the apostles, as some would tell us? Congregation says, no. Watch. Now read the background of it. Go ye into where? All the world. Preach this gospel to what? Every creature. It has not even one third of the way have met it yet. These signs shall follow in all the world every creature. Wherever the gospel is preached, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just to one little handful, like a fellow one time tells me, God only gave the 12 apostles gifts of healing. And, many of the brethren are sitting here when he raised up and said that. See, he's got enough of it in a few minutes. So now notice, all the world to every creature, these signs shall follow. Don't take Satan's unbelieving mark. Now, he will put it on you tonight if he can do it. He will poke you up against the wall and you'll walk out and say, I don't know about that. And you just go home and study it. And then be sincere and pray. Because everything, too, is too perfectly scriptural at this hour, this very sacred hour of time. It's done, been for years, proved. Come right up to it in this hour. This is the time. And now, don't let him poke that in your ear, his unbelieving mark, see? Because he was an unbeliever to begin with. He doubted. All right? Oh, don't let him take the scripture with his wisdom and twist it and pervert it with his own wisdom into reasoning power. You just be humble and say, God said so, and that's all there is to it. Now, it's going to get too late. We better stop here and just start up. Now, in getting back to the rising of the sun, paragraph 47, Brother Brown was saying, and if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Well, look, if John 14, 12 then means that, if you got the same life that's in Jesus, you're going to do the same thing, then he's a groom and you're the bride. All right? Because she's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. As a man and woman are one, and a woman taken from his side, she has taken his spirit, the feminine spirit from him, the flesh from his side, made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. Now listen, there is a scripture here called Romans 8:29. It says that all that he foreknew, he also has what? Predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his firstborn son. Now, that's a mechanic. It takes light upon that to be conjoined with you, to make that you. Romans 8:15 or 8:19. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of who? Sons of God. That's mechanic. When the light comes upon you, that's you, now it's yours. When Israel, I think it's Leviticus 7 or number 7, when they were ready to cross over Jordan, God said, every footstep you take shall be yours. Every divine promise of God that God has for you in here, step into it, claim it, and it becomes yours. Don't claim it, it's not yours. You've got to have claim to it. All right? She is him. And as a man and woman are one, and the woman taken from his side, she has taken his spirit, the feminine spirit in him, the flesh from his side, made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him, the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. The same Holy Ghost that was in Christ is in you. And you identify your portion of that word as I'm to be conformed to his image. There you go. That's me. I've got the mechanics. There's living in me, the dynamics. Let it be done. Like Mary said, let it be done according to thy word. There you go. Now notice what he just said. He said the reason she will do the same things he did is because she not only has the same life, the same spirit, and thus the same nature, but as we have been studying, she adds, she is him. She is him. And then he explains this unity as husband and wife. And that is why Paul taught us that the fivefold ministry will bring us to the place where we will actually grow up into Christ. And we must put on Christ. Didn't say Jesus. Didn't say you will become the firstborn, but you will put on Christ. The anointing, the same anointing that was on him. You will grow up into Christ, the same anointing. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you cannot understand the revelation of Christ until you understand and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. A mature man, a fully mature equipped man, unto the measure of the stature, the word measure there means like Brother Brown said, we have Christ with a measure. He had it without measure. It's a portion. Unto the portion of the stature or the character of the fulfilling of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby we lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Might grow up not unto him as though he's standing here and I'm standing here and I'm growing up unto him. I'm growing up into him. I'm becoming the very image. I'm becoming from image to image, from glory to glory. I'm becoming him. She is him. That's what he said. She is him. He did not say we must grow up unto him as though he is here and you are there and you are standing alongside of him, but he said we may grow up into him. And that means what he said, just as Paul said in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's your duality right there. Now from his sermon, Pillar of Fire, Brother Brown said, now the Bible teaches us that the Logos that went out of God, or I might say all of the God becoming his first body form when the Logos went out of God. Now let's look at what it looked like. No one has seen the Father at any time. Nowhere, never did, and never will. But then the Logos that went out of him become like a little halo of light. Now that is the same Logos, the same light that comes into the believer when he is born again. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people were in the upper room, 120 licks of fire were there. The same Logos that went out of the Father into the Son, and now into sons. The same Spirit, the same life, not a different life, it's the same life. From uncertain sound, Brother Brown said, as I illustrated it, like a button, when a man says that much of him, he says, like that button, that much of him is God. Is God. Did you hear that? Not like God. Is God. That much of him is God. Oh, I like that. If the Spirit of God is in you, then that's God in you. You understand? Now, He said that if you can take all of the malice and envy and strife and unbelief out, that little button like of light and power of God will keep growing, 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 crowding out unbelief, and you don't do it by exhortation or bodily exercise. You do it by a sanctified, consecrated life that the Holy Spirit moves through you. That's why, listen, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the people that lived back in those days with Brother Branham lived a holy, holy, holy life, and the people today live an unholy life. Back then, you wouldn't think of going to bowling alleys. Today, they do. Back then, you wouldn't think of of half the stuff the young people do today. They just think, well, you know what? We got the doctor, so hallelujah, we're going to make it. No, you're not. I'm here to tell you, you're not. Unless you're living a sanctified, consecrated life, you're just fooling yourself. God won't even deal with you. You're none of His. If the Holy Spirit, not partially holy, not a good spirit. If the Holy Spirit is living in you, what does it make you do? Live holy. Amen? Okay. Brother Brown said, it crowds out, crowds out, crowds out. He said, you do it by a sanctified, consecrated life that the Holy Spirit will begin to move through you. Now, from identified masterpiece of God, he says, now, we notice that God begins to make him a bride for Christ, so the bride must be identified with him and in him. And remember, we showed you several months ago, the word identified means to be the same. To be the same. All right? So the bride must be the same with him and in him. Identified. Because it is part of him. Now the bride is a part of him. She is part of him. The word for that day, the bride becomes part of that word for is Christ. Now you believe that? We have to be in Christ, in Christ. We have to be Christ, be of Christ, in Christ, part of Christ. What is a woman? When she takes a man or the man takes a woman, that woman has to be a part of him. They're no longer two, they're one. And when God in Christ becomes one, they were one. Because God was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. The flesh and the Word become one. In other words, the flesh becomes subject to the Spirit. And when the church becomes Christ's bride, she and the Gospels are the same. How can you say then that the days of miracles is past? That's like those who say John 14:12 is over because Brother Branham is gone. So John 14:12 has been gone for 50 years. And yet God is the same yesterday, today, forever. That's a paradox. How can God be the same in you and be different in Him? It's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How can you say that He's not the same yesterday, today, and forever? How can you say those things is for an, one singular, an apostle, or a disciple, or somebody in another day, 50 years ago, when you're part of Him. Notice Brother Bram says that they try to make it for just one person only, when it is not. If the life of Christ is in you, then the works He did, you will do if you have the same Spirit living in you. When He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. How about Revelation 22? When He got through writing the book, He said, I testify that if any man shall add one word or take one word out of it, his part will be taken from the book of life. How serious is that to say John 14:12 is no longer? It was in Brother Branham. It's over. It's one word taken out. Tribulation period. So what are you going to do with those people listening to this broadcast? Those of you who have taken John 14:12 out of the Scripture or have relegated to one time and one person. Don't you know that God's Word is just as eternal as He is? Don't you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? But if you take John 14:12 and relegate it to 50 years ago, you are guilty of Revelation 22 by taking away from God's Word. I can show you where he put it in. You show me where he took it up. You say, well, Brother so-and-so did. No, Brother so-and-so did not. Brother so-and-so told me, he said he never understood John 14. And it's on tape, and I've shared that tape. You know, deathbed confession should be taken seriously. But he said, you know, we've had doctrine enough. He said, the people need the life, or they're not going to make it. And people ought to know they need the life or they're not going to make it. Now, from his sermon, Christ is a Mystery, Brother Branham said, that's in Christ the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word. And the church becomes Word by Him making her a part of Him. And that's the Word again. Personally identified by Him, His property alone, His property alone. She is redeemed by Him, through Him, for Him, and for Him alone. That's right. And from God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said, now the Lutheran wanted to get in one way by joining the Lutheran Church. The Methodist wanted to get it by shouting. The Pentecostal wanted to get it by speaking in tongues. That still ain't it. See? No, that's gifts and so forth. 1 Corinthians 12 says, by one Spirit. Spirit of God, which is the life giver to the Word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for that season. So notice, one joined herself to the church, the next joined herself to a works program or a gift, and the next joined herself to gifts, but they all got it wrong. You are to be joined together with Christ, and He is the Word made love. Now, how is the seed vindicated? By the manifestation of the life within it. In other words, it will bear the fruit of what it is, its nature is. Now look, I could bring two seeds in here, hold them in my hand, and they might look identical to your eye, but someone who maybe understands seeds very well could say, no, this one is a wheat seed, and this one is a grass seed. Now the seed itself might look fairly close, but you know what? Let's just sit back and wait. We call this one a Christian, or this one a message believer, or whatever we want to call them. But let's just wait. Plant it. When they begin to manifest the light that's in the seed, now I can say, hey, this one definitely is a wheat. And this one definitely is a bluegrass. You understand what I'm saying? By their fruits you shall know them. By their nature you shall know whether they're born again or whether they're not. So notice, how is the seed vindicated? By the manifestation of the life within it. In other words, it will bear the fruit of what its nature is. A fig tree bears figs. An apple tree bears apples. And a son of God will bear son of God life. And God is the Word. Brother Brown made that point very clear in his sermon, Spoken Word is Original Seed, where he said, then the works will be manifested in Him are the same. For it is the same seed, Word of God. God's Son was His example seed. And what His life was when the Spirit poured upon Him after His baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon Him. Now remember, Jesus never did one miracle till after He received the Holy Ghost. Why don't we see a lot of miracles in the end time bride today? Because maybe a lot of people think they got the Holy Ghost and don't. And what His life was when the Spirit poured upon Him after baptism, the Holy Ghost come upon Him, the very life that He produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of a life, doing the same things that He did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth a Son of God seed. Very, very simple. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:21, if so be that you have heard of Him and have been taught of Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former life the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in right wiseness and true holiness. That's what he said. Right thinking and true holiness. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after, what? The image of Him that created him. Notice, after the image of Him. Every seed after its kind. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. You see, that's the seed after the seed. Son of God's seed brings forth Son of God. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called, whom He called, them He justified, and whom He justified, them He has also glorified. 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, conjoined. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. It's not about us. John 14:12 is not about Brian Kasorik. It is not about us. It's about Him. His Spirit can do whatever His Spirit wants to do with whoever He wants to do. If He wants to use these rocks to cry out, He can use the rocks to cry out. Jesus said so. If the blood of Abel could cry out, and Jesus said He could raise up rocks to cry out, and if God can use a dumb ass like a dumb donkey to speak and rebuke a rebellious prophet, Balaam, then can't God use us? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and our servants, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. So, what's the emphasis? Is it on the treasure or the earthen vessel? It's on the treasure. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, not of the vessel. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, in the vessel, the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life in the vessel, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our vessel, in our body. Not even talking about you. It's all about Christ. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our vessel. Again, our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Now in closing, from a sermon and ensign, Brother Brown said, and a Christian that's dead and buried and raised with him, in his resurrection in heavenly places, see, if we are dead with him, then we're also raised with him, for the body goes where the head is. And he is the head, and this is the body. And not will be, but we are now seated together in heavenly places in Christ, with every power of the devil conquered and under his feet. Authority, there's the ensign. That's the hand that lifts up the count. Moses went down into Egypt. There was a great sea out there. Lifted up the ensign, and what happened? They turned to blood. Lifted up the land, lifted over the land. Frogs, lice, fleas. The sun refused to shine. Death struck the land. Why? He lifted up the ensign of God's judgment. And when we lift up the ensign of God's judgment as a believer in Christ, with a crucified life to yourself and your ideas, and raised and His word made alive among you, every devil has got to speak it, got to squeak at it. That's right, because it represents Christ. See, He died. He's the one lifted up the ensign. And Moses with his stick, it looked like a little bitty thing, but it was a stick. And it was God's ensign to Egypt, His judgment rod. And it brought judgment. God always gives something that you can look at, something you can put your hand on, something you can prove, something that's right, after you have accepted Him. So God just gives you the vessel, brother, sister, just as a little help. But the focus is, He says, after you have accepted Him. And from the spoken word's original seed, Brother Brown said, all right, every seed must come forth after its kind. God made man in His image after His kind to be His word on earth. He expressed it in Jesus Christ. What was? God was in Christ. That's a man after His kind. See, when God, which is the Word, how many knows He's the Word? When the Word was in Christ, a man, a human man, expressing Himself through Him, that was God, the Word, in Christ, expressing Himself. And God, in the beginning, made man in His own image, and that's the kind of man that God makes today. The seminary and the incubator hatchery turns out a bunch of hybrids. See, the schools. But when God calls a man, he's in His own image, the Word made alive in him. That's right. There he is. That's God's man. Man in His own image, in His very likeness. And Jesus said that He will do the works that I do. So God made man in His own image after His kind. His kind, what was his kind? The Word. He is the Word. Then if a man denies God's Word, how can he be in God's image? Just ask the question, ask yourself, how can he be in God's image and deny God's Word? Then the words express image of himself. Amen. And from you must be born again, Brother Brown said, you are conceived anew. You was first conceived in iniquity. Now you're conceived in something new. What is it? It's the living Word. Oh, that changes it now, doesn't it? Now we're through the struggle after seeing what you've got to do. Now what happens? You're conceived anew in the living Word. What is it? The Word becomes alive in you. You begin to see things differently. Where once you couldn't see that, now you do see it. There's something different now. It makes all the Scriptures come together. It makes everything dovetail just right. Then now something begins to happen. Now you die to your own thinking. Now you're conceived because we are washed by the water of the Word. Is that right? And in his sermon, Have Not I Sent Thee, he said, and when God plants his promise in you, catch that, in you, and it becomes a living reality, then something is different. You just don't go and say, well, yes, I believe it. Now, that's all right. The devil believes it like that. But it's confirmed to you. And the Word becomes alive in you. Then you begin to see what it is. And what does that do for you? Well, you begin to see what God sees. And you think what God thinks. From Why Cry Speak, Brother Ram said, now notice, faith sees what God wants you to see. See, faith sees what God sees. And the reasoning and senses see what the world wants you to see. Again, from a sermon, Seed of Discrepancy, Brother Brown said, the Word becomes alive in our flesh that shows the presence of God. And from Souls in Prison Now, he said, not by speaking in tongue, not by dancing in the Spirit, not by joining church, not by the fruits of the Spirit, Christian Science can outsmother any of you on that, see, and deny even Jesus Christ was divine. Not that, but it's the Word living. There it is. If they would have looked, he was Messiah. He was the living Word made manifest. And the man that's got the Spirit of God in him, or woman, sisters, or woman, that Word lives right out in them. That's the heartbeat, the predestinated. For the Word of the Lord comes to them, and they are the Word to the people. Written epistles, read of all men. Is that right? Could the third pole be on? And from Colossians 3:3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And in 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. That's powerful in prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach you tonight, holding on to your Word, believing, O God, that not only were we in you before the foundations of the world, but that your light has quickened us and made us alive to the revelation of Christ, to the revelation of Father and sons, and knowing, Father, that we are sons and daughters of God. We are manifested sons. We are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. It is the same Spirit living the same life, having and expressing the same nature, thus saying the same things and doing the same things that lives in us. And now, Father, we ask you that you might manifest your sons to this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to do something different tonight before we change the order of service to communion. There's a young boy, his name is Jacob Miller. What disease does he have? Yeah. All right. The boy has a cyst in the middle of his brain. And a co-worker of Elizabeth, is that right? She's co-workers? She knows that we believe in the power of God. She asked if we would lay hands on this prayer cloth We would use it as prayer cloth. It's a piece of the boy's material. You see, he's into Paw Patrol. All right. I'm going to ask the brothers at this time to believe that God, His Spirit, His life is living in you. If you would come up, we're going to lay this on the pulpit here. And I would like for all of us to come up and we will pray over this cloth. And as they took the cloth from the Apostle Paul and laid it on the sick, they were healed. As they took the cloth from William Branham, they laid it on, they were healed. I would ask those brothers that want to impart some of the life that's in them right now to lay your hands. We'll just hold it out here and we'll all put your hands together, brothers, and let's just lay your hands on this cloth. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. Josh, you can put your hand in there. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just lay our hands, O God, upon this cloth. And believing, Father, in John 14:12, that you said, if we have the same life, the same spirit that your son Jesus had, then by nature we will do the same thing. Now we know that a woman was healed by when she touched the hem of his garment. And so, Father, we are asking that you would impart your God life into this cloth, O God, the anointing of that life, that when this cloth is laid upon this child, the child will instantly become normal. Now, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you're out there. You are the prince and power of the air. We know that you're the demon that's in that child. And we command you by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of God to depart from that child. And his name is Jacob Miller. And Father, we're asking now that you would bring healing, complete healing to Jacob Miller for your glory, Lord. Because we know it's not us, but we know it's your spirit living in us. And we're asking this, Father, because we believe in John 14:12. We're asking you to identify yourself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so if we give this back to Elizabeth and she can bring it to the co-worker. I'm believing for Jesus Christ to show himself forth the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm believing that child will be healed. Amen. Now, the deacons would bring forth the elements at this time. We'll change the order of service to prayer. And I'm going to do communion service. Hallelujah. I believe God has been building up in his bride an understanding that we are no different than his son Jesus, that we are conformed to his image, that it is the same spirit that lived in him is living in us. And we're now asking him.